Praise the Lord, church. It's so great to be here this morning. Good to see all of you. Oh, I tell you, I'm just loving today. I'm just loving today. There's just such a powerful presence of the Holy Ghost. I came in here this morning a little before 9, and I could hear the worship team worshiping, and I could just feel the presence of God in this place, and I truly trust that in your own homes you can feel the presence. I hope you feel what I feel right now. Wish I could hug you all, say hi to all of you, but I'm going to be able to say hi to all of you. Can't hug all of you, but anyway, it's so great to be here this morning. And God has, we've had a great week here at the church. You can kind of notice that we don't have our black tarp or covering up because we got the hole all filled in. This is, we had to cut a big hole in the wall here to put our new baptismal tank in. And we'll have some updates on some of that as we go along. But so great to see here from each and every one of you during the course of the week. But we're going to take just a couple minutes. If you've got a guest that's with you, having service with you in your own home, we just want to take a few minutes, give the kids a little bit of a break here. But we'll be back in a few minutes. God bless you all, and enjoy your day. God bless. Welcome back, folks. We are excited this morning. A few weeks ago, before all of this madness kind of hit, we had our Sunday morning service that we did not have service on that Sunday morning, but we had a lineup ready to go for that week. And we're going to kind of backtrack a little bit since we don't have Brother and Sister Showalter here this week. It is good to have Sister Renee Strand standing right to my left here. And so we're practicing our oh boy, but it is so we are so blessed here at Calvary Gospel Church to have the Simmons family with us. And Brother Jerry Simmons is our outreach pastor, among many other things, of course, his beautiful daughter and his wife. But Sister, we're gonna have a little bit different this morning. Sister Lindsay Simmons is gonna come, and she's gonna start, and she's gonna speak for a few minutes, and then Brother Jerry's gonna come, and then I'm gonna wrap this all up somewhere around 2:33 this afternoon. So get your popcorn. I'm just messing, okay? I'm just kidding. But Sister Lindsay Simmons, God bless you. Such an honor to have you here. For sure, got you.
Praise the Lord, everybody. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. Hallelujah. Like Pastor said, there's just been an awesome presence of God in this place. I know right when I walked in the doors and I heard the praise singers, thank you guys so much for ushering the presence of God. But when I walked in here, I could just feel the presence of God so strong. I already ran through 2 Kleenexes. But I'm just so thankful to be in the house of God. God has really been speaking to me, especially the last week. And I just know God has something great in store for the church. And I'm just so thankful to be in the house of God. I think I told the girls on Marco Polo that God is about to do something great. We're going to hear great preaching. Some of the best, I think people are going to be writing some new songs. I think that there's going to be some of the greatest preaching and some of the greatest revivals that we're going to see. And I'm just so excited and glad to be a part of the church of the living God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Thank you. Let's just lift our hands, God. Thank you, God, for letting us meet here today, God, Jesus, to be in your presence one more time, oh God, to worship you, God, in spirit and truth, oh Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Help us never take for granted the church, oh God. Thank you for your people, God, and thank you, God, for what you're about to do, God, the revival that we're about to see, oh God. In the name of Jesus, God, I thank you, God. I just worship you and praise you, God. You're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You're worthy, Jesus, of the highest praise. The title of my message this morning is God, the God of Second Chances. If we could all open our Bible to Jonah 3:1. And we're going to be reading through Jonah 3:1-3. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. if we could say a second time, saying, "Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Now this is kind of just a simple, I just remember growing up and hearing this story many times, and it's just kind of a simple little story, but it's something that I always enjoy reading. So God asked Jonah to go to Nineveh. He said, "Jonah." I don't know if that's what God, I never really heard his voice in an audible voice, but God just, when he speaks to me, he just kind of impresses me. And so he's like, "Jonah, go to Nineveh." And Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. So he decided that he was going to go down to Joppa, and he was going to get a ticket and head to Tarshish. For some reason, whenever we try to run from God's presence, we try to hide. And I'm not sure why people do that, because God's like, "Oh, there you are." But anyway, Jonah went on the ship and he tried to hide from the presence of God because he didn't want to go to that wicked city. So he's on the ship, and all of a sudden God decides to send a big storm. And the storm was so great. I'm sure, I don't know if any of you have been on the water on maybe Lake Michigan, or I grew up going on to the lake and going to the lake. And I remember there's times where we're on the lake and all of a sudden a storm front rolls in, and it's very hard to get your boat from where you're at to shore because the waves are just rocking your boat over and over and over. But I know that these men were afraid. It said, the Bible said that these men were afraid. And so I can just see as this boat is rocking back and forth. You know, God has a way of shaking things up in your life when you're not following his will and his plan. He has a way of just kind of shaking you up to get your attention. And that's kind of what was happening. The boat was rocking back and forth and over and over. And this was kind of like a cargo boat. So I'm sure that there was cargo, big containers or whatever it was that was falling and rolling around, and who knows what else. I'm sure men were holding on because it said that they were afraid. And so all of a sudden it said that the men were afraid, and the men started, they started casting lots and wondering who caused this storm. And all of a sudden the lots fell upon Jonah. So Jonah comes up, they have Jonah come up, and all of a sudden they asked him, why is this happening? And he said, "Well, because my God asked me to do something." And I'm just paraphrasing. But he said, God asked me to do something and I didn't follow his will. And they're like, "Well, what shall we do?" And he said, "Well, cast me over." So then it said that God prepared a great fish. A lot of times in Sunday school you hear that this fish was a whale. Just because a whale is probably about the size of a fish that could swallow a human. And so they throw him over, and immediately the storm was seized. And all of a sudden, this big, great fish came, and it swallowed up Jonah. And I can't even imagine. This is kind of the part where it always gets me, of just being in the belly of the whale. I'm sure it was stinky. I'm sure it was gross. I'm sure he could hear sloshing going around. I'm sure it wasn't the greatest place to be. And I'm sure he felt isolated and alone. And just knowing that he wasn't following the will of God and the plan that God had for him. And I'm sure he was very scared. But for some reason in that belly of the whale, or that fish, he made a prayer room, and he began to ask God forgiveness. "God, please forgive me, God, for not following your plan. I'll do your will." He was in the belly for 3 days and three nights, and all of a sudden the Bible said that God spoke to the fish. God even speaks to animals. It's just not just you and me, but it said that he spoke to the fish, and the fish released him, and he went on shore, and that's when Jonah went and did what God asked him to do. That was the part of my text where it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord." Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And this is where Jonah went and preached to that city, that wicked city, and great things happened. God is a God of second chances. He wants to do something in your life, and he wants to fulfill that. What has God asked you to do in your life? You might already be doing something, but God might be calling you for another thing. God wants to do something in your life, and you need to follow that call. At Bible college, my husband would always ask students, what has God called you to do? And many people would say, oh, I feel like God has called me to be a missionary, or I feel like God has called me to be a youth pastor, or I feel like God has called me to be a preacher's wife, or the list would go on and on and on. The Bible says, many are called, but few are chosen. It sounds like we have a listening problem. The calling isn't the problem, it's the receiver isn't picking up. Are you picking up? Are you listening to the call of God on your life? Have you been running like Jonah had been running from the call of God of life? Today I'm speaking to the seed that's in your heart right now, that you would just start listening to the voice of God, and that you would do what God has called you to do. Hallelujah, Jesus. When I was younger, I felt a call of God on my life, and I would play church all the time. I would be the pastor. I remember setting up a little garbage can with a broomstick, and that was my microphone, and my sister, she was the pastor's wife, and my dog was my child, and we would go around preaching, and the power of God would fall. We'd go to my cousin's house, and we would play church, and the power of God would fall, and I remember just crying and praying, and our parents would come in and peek on us, because even though we were playing church, God was doing something. Just as a little girl, God was trying to instill something into me, and as I got older, that call just kept getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And we cannot let fear get in the way of that calling. If God is calling you, you know right now where you're at that God is calling you to do something great for Him. You need to step out and do the call of God. When I was in the youth group, I had this plan. I had this outreach plan. It was called Youth Outreach, and I had this whole folder. And I said, I thought to myself, what greater person could reach youth than a youth member? So I had this plan. I had phone numbers. I had addresses. I had names of people that had been visiting the church, and I had this great plan. And I talked to my pastor. I said, Pastor, I have this plan to reach young people. And he said, well, that's great, Lindsay. And he's like, well, when you come up with a plan, you should come back to me and tell me what that plan was. And I let fear stand in the way. I already had the plan in the folder, but I never told them that. I just said, okay. And I let fear, and I never went back to my pastor. And he's a great pastor, and it wasn't him. It was me. I let fear stand in the way. I didn't tell him my whole plan. And I'm here to tell you tonight, if you have a plan, if God has called you to do something, you need to step out. You need to step out and do that call. When Peter stepped out on the water, he was fine until he saw the storm. And the storm was what caused him to start sinking. And that is when God said, oh, ye of little faith. We need to step out, church, into the uncharted waters and do what God has called you to do. Don't be afraid of the storm around you. Don't be afraid of people around you. You just need to go out and step out and do the will of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I just feel the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just lift our hands again. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you for the call that you have in our lives, God. I'm speaking to the seed that you have placed inside of every person, oh God. Hallelujah. To do your will, Jesus. Hallelujah. You might be listening online and you might not even know what ministry is. You might just be saying to yourself, I'm just trying to get my life back. I'm just trying to get my life back. I have sinned. I have done all these things. It doesn't matter. God is a God of second chances for you too. He wants to do something great in your life. He wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. You can receive the Holy Ghost right where you're sitting right now. If you just lift your hands and start speaking out to God right now. He's an on-time God, and He wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. And He wants to baptize you with the He wants to baptize you in Jesus' name, and our waters are going to be filled. And when you're ready and you have feel it, you just contact our church, and we will baptize you, and your sins will be forgiven. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you for touching our hearts, oh God. He wants to restore you and fill you if you just let Him. He wants you to feel His presence. I'm not going to talk about the fivefold ministry, because we all have different callings and, you know, pastors and teachers and evangelists, and the list goes on. But one thing, when you receive the Holy Ghost, it is your call to tell people about Jesus Christ. Right now with this pandemic, there are people that are afraid. I could hear my neighbor, and I'm not an eavesdropper, but I could hear her while I was raking leaves the other day. She said that she was so scared, and she has to turn the TV off because she cannot even handle. She said her anxiety was so bad that she couldn't even sleep. But right now is your chance to let your light shine to your neighbors, to let your light shine to your backslidden loved ones or to your family or to co-workers. Now's the time. Their hearts are ready. And I heard my neighbor, then another person went by and she began to talk to her. It's because she's lonely and she feels scared and she needs Jesus. And if we don't reach those people right now, they're going to be lost. Hallelujah, Jesus. We need to pick up that calling, whatever it is. If you're not sure, just pray to God. God will tell you. But right now, you can reach your neighbor. You can reach the people around you. Thank you, Jesus. Can you imagine if God was your receptionist, scheduling your appointment? It's kind of a question that I've been thinking about lately. You wouldn't even have a choice, just like Jonah. God called Jonah. He'd go to Nineveh. If God was my receptionist, I wouldn't have a choice. He'd be saying, oh, Lindsay, you're going to go to Kikoski and you're going to reach that city. Lindsay, you're going to go to Mayville and you're going to reach that city. Lindsay, you're going to go to Columbus and you're going to reach that city. I wouldn't even have a choice if God was my receptionist. And right now, God is calling you. I want you to dig deep in your heart and know what God is calling you to do, because he has a call and he has a purpose for every person in your life. And I come against fear. I've been feeling it for weeks, and I come against that in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, loose your faith, oh God. I just pray, God, upon this church, God. You said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And right now I'm just praying, oh God, that you would just begin to pour out your spirit upon our congregation as they're listening, God. Lord God, you have a plan and you have a purpose for them, God. Help them to dig deep, oh God, in the name of Jesus. A couple Sundays ago, I felt, well, I was at church. I think it was maybe one of the last church services, or maybe it was the second last church service that we were here. And I was sitting on the side back there, and there was two things that I felt to pray over for the congregation. And one was that rebuke fear and release boldness over the church. And the second one was to speak to the seed. And right now, I just want my husband to come, the outreach pastor, and pray over the congregation.
Wherever you are, church, in your houses, in your cars, maybe you're at work listening. I don't know where you are, but would you just take this moment of time and just focus on the Lord for just a moment? We're asking God that he would speak to this COVID-19 like he spoke to the whale, and just stop it in its tracks, and stop what it's doing to our city, stop what it's doing to our ministry, stop what it's doing to our households. But above that, God, I ask you right now that you would speak, Lord, to the hearts and the minds of those who are receiving their calling and their election right now. Lord, speak to the ministries that are being birthed by faith in the name of Jesus Christ. God, I ask you, God, to set those appointments and those opportunities, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would have a divine appointment, Lord, for each and every one of us this week, God. I ask you, God, that those who have a mission in mind, that their city, God, be reached, that you would, God, would renew the prayer warriors and revive them, God. Raise them up, oh God, to engage in this spiritual battle, Lord. I ask you, God, that the home revivals would take place, oh God, that we would hear many souls coming to you, Jesus, to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Lord Jesus, I rebuke fear, I release boldness, and I speak to the seed right now in the name of Jesus, God. I ask you, Lord Jesus, you would touch every single heart, Lord God, who is wrestling, God, with your calling, wrestling with this thing that they're dealing with, Lord. Maybe this COVID-19 epidemic, pandemic, whatever it is, oh God, has got their attention, Lord. Right now that you have their attention, Lord, their ears are listening to you, Lord. Right now, speak, Lord Jesus. Speak to their hearts, oh God. Encourage them, Lord God, to do the things that you've called them to do. with everyone all across this county, in every home, in every car, every business, wherever you are listening online, would you just say this with me? Amen. Amen. We are in agreement with the Lord right now. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You know, when I read, I'm not going to take very long because my wife did such a great job. I don't want to take away from that message. I think that that was the word of the Lord this morning. But I do believe whenever I read the book of Jonah that I don't see where Jonah prophesied before he came to Nineveh. I don't see where his ministry started before he showed up on the banks of Nineveh. I don't see where Jonah had ever actually engaged in the process of ministry or to be a prophet of God. And I don't know where you are right now in your walk with God. And I know that if you read the book of Jonah, there's a lot of negatives, but there's also a lot of positives that Jonah did obey God. He did do what was right. He did go and he preached, and the whole entire city came to the Lord. Amen. But maybe if I was to speak to Jonah right now, maybe if this whole entire congregation were Jonahs and we were all in our boat with Jonah, if I was able to encourage Jonah right now, I would tell him that even though you may have not have ever done the thing that you are called to do, that God has called you to do it, that means that you can do it. He's given you everything that you need. He's given you all of the brains. He's given you the voice that you need. He's given you the people. He's given you all of the things that you need to do those things. I believe that God can do those things through anybody. He spoke to a donkey. He spoke to a whale. I know he speaks to all of us, but not everyone obeys. But sometimes we get caught in a situation where we're running from the Lord. And right now you might be comfortable in your little ship with your Xbox and your full fridge and your stock of toilet paper. I don't know how you feel, but maybe something in this sermon, maybe something in this week has stirred you to stop holding so tightly to the rolls of toilet paper and the Xbox controller and the TV dinners. But maybe the Lord has called you to speak to someone in your neighborhood. I know that we have this thing that we can't meet in groups of 10 or more, but it doesn't take 10. It doesn't take 10 or more to witness to your neighbor. It doesn't take 10 or more to have a Bible study in your neighbor's home or in your own home. I'm not asking you to be crazy and to do things that are foolish or dangerous, but I also realize that there is something moving in the Spirit, that God is doing something that goes beyond just normal human wisdom. But God's wisdom is higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than ours. I think of a story of the book of called Full Throttle. Shout out to our Full Throttle Ministries, but you weren't the originator of the idea. Full Throttle was a book that was written by Benny DeMerchant. He showed up in the 1950s to the country of Brazil, not knowing the language of Portuguese or knowing very few people that were there. And he started a ministry just going off the calling of the Lord, never having ever seen it with his own two eyes, just knowing that God had spoken something to him in the Spirit. Him and his wife in Bible college decided that they would go and risk everything, sell it all, and be missionaries to Brazil. It wasn't long before he realized that he could not reach the entire nation of Brazil on his own two feet or even with four wheels, but he had to have an airplane. And so he got an airplane and he went to Brazil, and he went from village to village and village all the way up and down the Amazon River, witnessing to village after village. And it was not a safe situation. Brazil at that time was full of headhunters. They were people who would want to eat you alive. They were cannibals. They were people who were very dangerous, but he went anyway, and he witnessed to them, and he preached the gospel. And after all was said and done, there was over 700 churches that were planted up and down the Amazon, and then that grew and flourished over 1 million converts in that country. And many, many of those headhunters became pastors and became leaders in churches along the Amazon River. I think of another story recently I heard about a man who was, I can't name him and I can't name the country he was in, but he crossed the border into a very, very dangerous place, and they set up some speakers between two buildings intending to hide, but they were going to have an outdoor service. And the whole entire congregation that came to hear about Jesus were Muslims. There was very, very few Christians. And he set up a stage and he set up the speakers, and he was in a very dangerous place, risking his life. He got up on the stage and began to preach, but before he began to even and get into his third or fourth sentence. At that time, a huge thunderstorm came and just began to rain. And the rain was so loud and it was so wet that literally it basically almost washed him off the stage. And he looked out on the congregation and all he could do was pray. He could no longer speak. And so he raised his hands over the congregation and he just started to pray for them. And one by one, they started to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And they started speaking in other tongues, Muslim after Muslim after Muslim. And he looked down and he seen two individuals standing directly in front of where he was. And they had this fear of God on their face. And he couldn't understand what was wrong with them. He went down and he prayed for these two men. And they received the gift of the Holy Ghost as he spoke over them a word of prophecy. And whenever all was said and done, he looked down and they said, we have to tell you that we came to blow this place up. We were strapped with explosives and we were wired and our switches got wet from the rain and the storm stopped the explosion and God stopped us and he stopped everything, but one thing led to another, and now we know that your God is the real God, that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And they received the Holy Ghost and were baptized in Jesus' name. I think of these stories and think, how does this apply today? And yesterday I looked and I'm online, I'm watching, I'm scrolling through Facebook just like everyone has probably spent way too much time lately looking at things online, sitting at home. And I look and I see this pastor standing in front of his baptistry with a face mask on and rubber gloves. And he's baptizing someone who's tested positive for COVID-19. And I thought to myself, that's the man of God. That's a man who's willing to risk his life. We have our people, our EMTs in our own church. We have our people who are working on the front lines with COVID-19 positive people. But who are we to know that God has called us for things that are eternal, that things that go beyond the grave? We know that our hope lies in heaven. It's not in this earth. It's not in the things of this earth. And so we have a message for these people. We have a message for these people that have no hope. They are hopeless and they only have one hope, and that's your voice speaking to them, preaching to them, giving them the gospel. We ask you, wherever you are, CGC, there's so many different ministries. I'm just going to call them out. You might think that your ministry has come to a screeching halt, but it hasn't. Your children's ministry is still valid. Your Bible quizzing ministry is still valid. The hyphen ministry is still valid. The youth ministry is still valid. I watched James Novak last night. A little photo on Facebook of him online with some of his youth group doing a video chat. It's still valid. Men's ministry is still valid. Marriage mentoring is still valid. Ladies ministry is still valid. There's so many things that you can still do even though we're not here together in the church. Outreach is still valid. New life care is still valid. CIP is still valid. You know, we can't bring them into our building, but there's been so many through the doors, and we have their names. We have their numbers. We can do something. We can call them. We can reach them. Home Bible studies are still valid. Prison ministry, even though we can't go in, there are people who are coming out. Prisoners who have been locked up, they're being released possibly, even some this week. We don't know what's going to happen, but we know that Jesus can do something. He can set a divine appointment. There's nothing that can stop us. Death ministry is still valid. As you see right here, right now, death ministry is happening. It's still valid. There's so many things that we can do. I don't want to take too long. I want my pastor to be able to come up here, but I just want to talk about one more thing. It was on March the 4th that I began to kind of transition from being in maintenance to being pretty much, it was around that week that I was a full-time outreach pastor. And it just happened. It just happened. Like, we didn't all really know how it was happening, but it was like a God thing. And I began to study the cities and the demographics of our county and the surrounding areas and the places where we live. And I began to look and try to pick out the best possible case scenarios. And Josh, who works with statistics, he gave me heat maps and did all this awesome stuff, and I began to write letters of intent to our district of places that we intended to try to evangelize and to outreach and to possibly start works. Now, these are all by faith, believe me, because the map is big and the places are extensive. But I wrote these letters on March the 4th. And I have them all in folders ready to be sent into the district. I was hoping to be by district conference, and district conference was canceled. And all these things occurred to me, and I thought, it's like, what is God doing? Is he stopping this? Is he stopping what we're doing? Is he stopping the planning? And I thought to myself, no, I don't think that's what's happening. I think he's accelerating the plan. I think that we are broken up into pieces. And those pieces are strong parts that can multiply. And so I believe, I just want to call out some of these city names. And if you have a calling or you feel like that you have a burden for any of these cities, I would ask you just to be in prayer over those cities over the course of the next few weeks as we are in lockdown. You might live in some of these, but I still believe in Revival Ridge, amen. I still believe that there's going to be a Spanish work and an English work in Marshall. I still believe in the work in McFarland. I still believe that God can do something with Johnson Creek in Columbus. I still believe that Prairie Hills, a small community on the other side of the cities, that God can move in that community, in Oregon, in Verona, in Edgerton, in Mount Horeb, in Evansville, in Jefferson, in Cottage Grove, amen, in Cambridge, in Lake Mills. I pray over these cities. I pray that the city that I'm from, in Iron Ridge, Horicon, and Mayville, we have people working there. We have people living there. I pray over the city of Windsor and Milton, amen. I pray over Poinette. I pray over Janesville. We have many families doing Bible studies down there. I pray over the outreach in Deerfield. This does not take God by surprise in Deerfield. There's still people to reach there. You can still do a great work there. I pray over the north side of Madison. I still believe that God is going to fill a stadium come Summer Fun Fest. I still believe it can happen. I still believe that God is in that plan. And I pray over those that are in North Madison. I pray over all of our families that are really close to us in Sun Prairie. I help the Sun Prairie Church. I help Brother Brown get online, and they're streaming their services probably right now. And I pray for that church, but I also pray for all of our families that they would win a soul. They'd win someone that's over there. We have so many people there. God, I just want to just say one more prayer over this congregation right now. I want to read one scripture that I've skipped through most of my sermon just for the sake of time, and I want to hear from our pastor. But Jonah 1:8 says, "Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? And what is thy country, and what people art thou?" And let me tell you something about that question, those questions that they had to Jonah. We are the people of God. Our country is not of this world. Our occupation is to preach the word of God to every creature. And we're called saints, chosen generation, a holy priesthood, a royal and peculiar people. We are the sons and daughters of God. We are ambassadors to wherever we are. Ambassadors to our city, ambassadors to our communities, ambassadors to our city, our groups, different groups, everything. We're ambassadors. I believe that Jesus is moving in the midst of a pandemic. I believe that Jesus is moving in the midst of a stay-at-home safe order. I believe that Jesus is moving in the midst of our online service. I believe that Jesus is still moving. He's still speaking, and he still has something for all of us to do. We're not just stuck at home to do nothing, but we are called to do something for Jesus. Amen. I'd like for Pastor Roy to come at this time.
Thank you, Brother Jerry. Thank you, Sister Lindsay. Don't worry, I'm not going to preach. I'm going to wrap some things up here. But I just want to take and also just talk with you for a few moments. We spoke Wednesday evening about we're all in the same boat. And I want to thank Sister Lindsay for really preaching this morning. I don't know, this was an incredible. Thank you so very much, and thank you, Brother Jerry, for just allowing God to use you and how God is using you. But reading from Matthew 8, verse 26, and he replied, "You of a little faith, why are you so afraid?" And we look across this world that we live in today, and there's such a level of fear. There's such a level of confusion. But Jesus stood up, totally calm, just as the church needs to stand up totally calm and rebuke the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. And the men were amazed. They said, "What kind of man is this? That even the winds and the waves obey him." We could go ahead and have our worship team come at this time as I close this out. I'm kind of closing out this morning's message, but I'm opening up Wednesday evening at the same time. And I want you to understand, church, that the times that we live in, it seems that things are rapidly spinning out of control. I was talking with Brother Jerry. That's why we kind of decided to just all three of us speak here this morning, because I was talking with Brother Jerry and Sister Lindsay earlier this week, and God has just laid something upon my heart in such a powerful, powerful way. And that is just a word, a term, if I could put it at that. And that term that I wish, and Brother Jerry used it this morning as well, and that is divine acceleration. Divine acceleration, if I could give it a term, what is divine acceleration? Divine acceleration is God's ability to bring about his purposes at a much faster rate than what is humanly possible. Church, we are in a season of divine acceleration, and we are experiencing a sudden supernatural surge from the Holy Ghost, surging this church, surging our world forward into revival. God's promises are being fulfilled in so many various areas of our lives. And as Sister Lindsay spoke about the fivefold ministry, listen, this isn't something that you look at and think, well, maybe someday I'm going to do this. Listen, today is when we have to start this. Divine acceleration is a principle that's seen throughout the scripture. God gives prophetic promises to his people. God has given prophetic promises to this body here in Madison Calvary Gospel Church. For years we have heard words of prophetic promise go forth over this pulpit. But as time passes by, there's weaknesses, there's waiting, there's trials. Perhaps maybe an injustice has taken place in your life. I don't know what has happened in your life since God has promised things to you as an individual. But maybe perhaps you're thinking this morning that that promise appears to have been stolen and everything seems to be lost, but God is stepping in. And God chooses this morning to divinely accelerate his presence in your life. I'm just amazed when I read in Exodus chapter 12, verses 31 and 32, how that Israel, in one moment's time, they went through 10 plagues. The nation of Egypt went through 10 plagues. They had been captive for 430 some years, but in one moment's time, in one single night, God delivered them. So you may be sitting at home right now, and God is desiring to deliver you. God is desiring to accelerate your life, accelerate you to a place, to a point that you never, ever thought would happen. But you see, God is God. If God can take a nation of millions and free them in one night's time, What more can he do for you? So church, as our worship team begins to sing, as we go into a time of prayer in your own home, perhaps you've never repented of your sins, you can repent right in your living room. Maybe you've never been filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, with the speaking of evidence of speaking in tongues. You can receive the Holy Ghost. Just lift your hands and begin to sing and begin to worship and begin to repent. This nation needs to repent. This nation, God is trying to get the attention of America. God has something so much more for our country than what we could ever imagine. God is desiring to divinely accelerate that movement across our country. So I want to encourage you to just lift your hands, begin to worship and begin to sing. Sister Fiona and our praise team. Praise the Lord again, church. There is such a powerful move of the Holy Ghost in this place. I just want to encourage you this week. Perhaps maybe you feel like you've been living through the night hours. I want you to know and understand that God is at work in your life right now. That during the night, just as in the case of Israel, during the night, heavenly orders are being issued on our behalf. I want to continue this message on Wednesday evening in divine acceleration. We're all in the same boat with Jesus, church, and how we can prepare ourselves for what God is seeking to do in us and through us. Praise God. God is working sovereignly. Everything that is happening is according to His timetable. It's all being taken care of according to His will. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for joining us this morning for our worship service here at Calvary Gospel Church. I hope you've been able to glean something. I want to thank Jerry and Sister Lindsay for doing a phenomenal job this morning. And I want to thank our music team, Sister Fiona, worship team, Brother Dan, Brother Phil, Stackhouse back in the sound, and John and Jess Rivas, Sister Renee, for coming in today. God bless you, Calvary Gospel Church. Have a blessed week. Have a safe week. And as we close, have closed out every message since this. Be smart. Be safe. Stay saved, church. Stay saved. Be sanctified and sanitized. God bless you all. We love you. Wish we were all here, but that day will come. God bless you, Calvary Gospel Church, and have a blessed week.